Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken stirs up a word on food, and our arts calendar today features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Sad to say, it's the end of an era for the dynamic and diverse Sunday Afternoons of Music and Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children series. Here's Charles Greenfield to tell us more.
Recently, it was announced both on their website and publicly that Doreen Marks' Sunday Afternoons of Music and Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children was in its final season. For over three decades, Doreen Marks has managed and directed both Sunday series, which first ran out of Pinecrest Temple Beth Am, then switched to UM's Gustman Concert Hall in 2002. For over 30 years, the very affordable, high-quality concerts have attracted subscribers to international artists like violinist Jaime Laredo, pianist Richard Good and Olga Kern, cellist Jana Starker, the Mendelssohn String Quartet, and vocalist Dawn Upshaw. In 1986, Doreen introduced Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children with hour-long shows that have showcased local groups like jazz artist Ira Sullivan and Friends, the Florida Grand Opera Young Artists Studio, the New World School of the Arts Conservatory Orchestra, and annual Peter and the Wolf performances with personalities like Martin Bookspan. With a great eye for talent, she chooses young artists who are beginning to make a name for themselves on a national level. The setting in the 600-seat UM Gustman Concert Hall is both intimate and acoustically accurate, while the programs are always entertaining and often challenging in scope. Interestingly, there's never been a canceled concert, with the exception of violinist Elmer Oliveira, canceled for a September hurricane but later rescheduled. The series also has never been in the red. Recently, I had the opportunity to talk to Doreen Marks and her husband, Byron, in two parts about highlights from the past decades, her talented roster of both young artists and well-established musicians, and the end of this season with the very talented soprano Isabel Leonard performing Songs of Spain to conclude their final program on Sunday, May 18th at 4 p.m. at UM's Gustman Concert Hall. Doreen Marks, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
It's always wonderful to talk with you, Charles.
Give us an overview of the original concept for Sunday Afternoons of Music. Were you filling a cultural gap that existed here in South Florida many decades?
It was filling it, but there was no plan to do this. It happened as a fluke. It was rather like serendipity. We had planned a weekend of art at Temple Beth Am in Pinecrest. And I was on the board at the time. And I said, well, what is a festival without music? So I got in touch with the four members of the then old Florida Philharmonic. And I remember their names so distinctly. Yefim Pestuk, first violin, Nina Gordon, cello, David Chappell, viola, and Stuart McDonald, second violin. And it was a free concert. I didn't want to charge anything. I thought, if you can't charge when you're having the art. That was my original concept. Well, we had the art show on a Saturday night. We had cocktails at somebody's home, went to the temple to view this antique Judaica that was in from New York City, and we had a wonderful afternoon of music on Sunday afternoon that was reasonably well attended. And then I thought to myself, hey, let's see if we can do another one of these things because it went so well. Check bookkeeping. We only paid them $500, Charles. Can you believe that for me?
I can't believe that. And you know, I'm going to ask you another question. If you look back over the decades, can you now say mission accomplished?
Oh, goodness me, yes. Mission accomplished many times over, many, many times over. It's been a remarkable journey, an exciting journey, a fulfilling journey, and indeed a very passionate journey. It's been fun. It's been a lot of hard work. But the joys that we have received, both Byron and I. We have received many, many joys. And it's been an absolute delight. And then we had the second concert. We didn't have the $500 because the insurance for the antique Judaica was $1,000 instead of $500. I went to the rabbi and I said, you can't renege on any commitment to any musicians, particularly two of them were Russian refugees. Oh. He said, charge. I'd already had the tickets printed. We charged $5 a ticket, $2.50 for seniors and students. And that was the small beginning of this amazing journey.
Doreen, before we talk about the highlights of your career during the past three decades, I need to ask you, what impelled you to make this decision to stop? And is there hope that someone might consider taking over the reins with your blessing?
Well, what made us stop is, you know, to everything there is a season, Charles. My wonderful husband is going to be 90, and I am going to be 88. And I think it's time to make way for the younger people that have fresher ideas, have a little bit more enthusiasm. Well, no, I've got a lot of enthusiasm. I still have the enthusiasm, but I don't have the energy to back it up. And I felt it was, both Byron and I felt it was time. I think we both want Sunday afternoons of music and Sunday afternoons of music for children to just sort of rest on its laurels. And if there are those out there that want to add a few more concerts to their already successful endeavors of presenting music to the community, I think that's the way to go. And as far as the children's series is concerned, there have been a couple of people that are interested in mounting a series for children. And in any way that we can help them, of course we will.
Let's talk about some amusing incidents over the years with your talented artists. I know that the late music critic Jim Roos's brother-in-law, pianist Carlo Grante, was scheduled to play at Temple Beth Am, and the piano failed to be delivered.
That's true. That is absolutely true. And the reason for it was the ticket got placed under a lot of different piles of tickets. And by 5 o'clock on a Saturday night for a 4 o'clock Sunday concert, we had no piano. But anyway, through the good graces of a piano tuner by the name of Reed Welsh, we were able to get a Bösendorfer, a brand new Bösendorfer that was so sharp and so brilliant, but it was a piano. You just can't go to Publix and get a 9-foot baby grand, you know. You have to pick what you can get. And anyway, it was an amazing concert. When I got the piano, then I burst into tears.
And then soprano Gwendolyn Bradley, I believe, was
oh, God, I'll never forget.
She was pregnant.
She was 6 months pregnant. She came from Germany. And in those days, you couldn't go and just get a gown during the course of the year, only around the holidays and stuff like that. So the minute she got off the plane, we said our greeting. She says, I don't have a thing to wear. So I said, oh, my God, what are we going to do? So we went to Miracle Mile. They have a lot of very lovely wedding gown shops and stuff like that. And it was like 4:45. I put my foot in the door and I said, we absolutely have to have a gown for tomorrow. And it was the time when you had that bousant style, you know, where the waistline tucked under the tummy. The ladies out there will know what I'm talking about. It was quite a few years ago. Well, the first gown she tried on was wonderful. We went around the corner to Abrams to get some shoulder pads and she looked like a million bucks.
Well, not only she, but there are a whole new younger generation of performers, not only including the older generation, Richard Good, who was just here, but young artists like, I'm thinking of the glamorous Russian pianist Olga Kern and the super talented violinist Ray Chen and even pianist Jeremy Denk.
Denk, I remember he wore the amazing designer jeans. I couldn't get over his.
And he did the Goldberg Variations, and he did
Beethoven.
He also did the Charles Ives second piano sonata.
Yes. But, he was amazing. He was amazing.
And then Olga, and then there's Ray, and you have an eye for this emerging talent. What characteristics do you look for?
What characteristics do I have? I think it's just luck. No, I just looked the review. You know what? I never liked to listen to CDs. I never trusted CDs. But I would read, I would hear what other artists said. Oh, and as far as Ray Chen is concerned, his maestro, Aaron Rosand, who we're very, very friendly with, we would chat. We do still chat like once every month, every couple of months. He said, I have a student you absolutely have to get. And it was Ray Chen. And I'll never forget, we hit it off very, very well because Ray was born and raised of Taiwanese parents in Australia. And I was born and raised in London. So our senses of humor run around the same gamut. And I remember at dinner on his first visit said, you know, Doreen, I like hanging out with you. I said, Ray, do you know what just came out of your mouth? I said, I'm old enough to be your great-grandmother. And I said, we'd love to have you back, but God only knows if we could afford you in 2 years. This was like, what, 2010? Anyway, he came back. He came back, and we always hit it off so beautifully. And of course, he's an amazing, amazing pianist. And I have Aaron to thank for that.
When we return for part two with Doreen Marks and Byron Krulwich on Sunday Afternoons of Music, we will discuss the children's series, Byron has some comments, and the final concert of the year.
Here's South Florida's jazz and classical flutist, Nestor Torres.
Congratulations, Doreen Marks and Byron Krulwich, on a wonderful legacy of music, a wonderful legacy of culture that you have given us all here in South Florida. I consider one of my golden memories and a great privilege that I was part of your series of concert events on Sundays, at least on two occasions, as I, you know, had the opportunity to perform some of my favorite pieces from the classical flute repertoire. I cannot say enough. Thank you. Enjoy this new golden page in your lives as you can look back and celebrate with great pride and satisfaction a lifetime of wonderful contributions and achievements to the community and the cultural landscape right here in South Florida. Congratulations.
We will return to the conversation between Doreen Marks, Byron Krulwich, and Charles Greenfield in just a moment. Please stay with us here on South Florida Arts Beat. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on WLRN and WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Now let's return to the conversation between Doreen Marks, Byron Krulwich, and Charles Greenfield about Sunday Afternoons of Music and Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children.
Doreen and Byron, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Byron, tell us a little bit about the behind-the-scene work, from computers to organizing the logistics. And I think you have some numbers to give us.
Oh, definitely. When we started with Temple Beth Am, Doreen never had a budget because the budget was prepared by the temple. When I started to come back on board with her in 85, I started to help her develop an actual operating budget for Sunday Afternoons of Music. At that time, we were about maybe one-sixth of what we are today, and that was in 85. And as we have grown, we've grown, let's say, six times that amount. We've gone six times in our size, and the thing that we are most proud of is in the 33 years of operation, we've never ended up in the red. We've always had a surplus at the end of the year, and that's in presenting over 200 concerts over the span of 33 years. In that time, we presented over 82 piano artists, 15 cellists, 24 violinists, 27 vocalists. We presented 13 instrumentalists, 27 string quartets, and 7 duo pianos, which amounts to about 195 different artist organizations. It's quite an impressive list.
Well, I'm impressed, Byron, and I want to get back to Doreen. Doreen, let's talk a little bit about the Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children. You started it in 1986. Why did you? And tell us about its success.
Well, as a concerned grandmother, there was nothing going on for children, and I was very interested in enriching the lives of youngsters through the delights of good music. And we started very, very small, and then I decided to add a subscription series. And then one Saturday afternoon, I said, hey, let's have some apple juice, balloons, and cookies. And then I said, my God, that's ABC. How wonderful. And the amazing company, Whole Foods Markets, has been donating their delicious juice and cookies, which are organic, for more years than I can remember.
Now, I heard that last year, the Miami City Ballet performed on Mother's Day, and the helium tanks for the balloons were not delivered.
Yes. You'll die when you hear this. The tanks weren't delivered. So I said, we cannot have a concert without balloons. So I said, let's go to Party City. They only had like a 50-ton tank that did not fit in our car. So Byron says, let's rent a minivan. So we had to go and rent a minivan. It took about five guys to carry this thing into Gusman. And I have to say that the men in black at Gusman have been so helpful to us over these many, many years. They schlepped the thing into Gusman, and we had our beautiful, colorful sea of color of balloons.
Well, that's a happy ending. And I know that your two bestsellers have been Peter and the Wolf and the Miami City Ballet Dancers. How did you conceive these two concepts?
Well, Peter and the Wolf is a perennial favorite of children from 1 to 101. And every year, people love to see it. I mean, the Miami City Ballet puts on the Nutcracker every year. And I said, so why golly, can't we put on Peter and the Wolf? And it is one of the best sellers. And, of course, the Miami City Ballet ended our 28-year run of children's concerts last Sunday, as a matter of fact, April 27th, with the beautiful Sleeping Beauty. It was absolutely exquisite, and all the seven dancers excelled, and the audience were just enraptured with the music and the beauty of the dance.
And the narrators, have there been several narrators for Peter and the Wolf or just one?
Always had Martin Buxban. He did it till the very end, and by golly, he was wonderful. He always is terrific.
Now, every year since you became an independent 501(c) nonprofit, you've held a Peter and the Wolf outreach concert for 600 second grade students.
We were at Gusman, but there was one year when we did it through the Passport
Cultural Passport Program. It was the superintendent of the Miami-Dade schools created the Cultural Passport, where he introduced children from grades 2 through 12 to some type of art or music.
And we had 5,000 second graders come to the Bank Atlantic Center on Ponce de Leon Boulevard. We did it in conjunction with the University of Miami, and it was an amazing success. The children loved it. Can you imagine 5,000 second graders? It was a sight to behold, and they were so well behaved. And I have to say, at the ballet last week, the youngsters were so well behaved. It was a delight to see them. I have to tell you that Allegro Music Center, for many, many years, under the wonderful direction of Manny Barbarian, has brought these miniature string instruments, miniature cellos, violins, and violas, so that children, if they have a yearning to play a string instrument, they can hold the instrument and see how it feels. And we've done extraordinarily well under the good graces of Manny Barbarian of Allegro Music Center of Miami. He's been most generous with his time for many, many years, and we're very, very grateful to him.
Now you're going to end the season May 18th.
May 18th
with a South Florida debut, the mezzo-soprano Isabel.
The Metropolitan Opera star concludes Sunday afternoons of music. She is giving a rich selection of extraordinary songs of Spain. Isabel Leonard with her equal partner, Vlad Ivtitka, who is a member of the musical team, the Metropolitan Opera. She's an acclaimed vocalist. And believe it or not, Charles, she's making her South Florida debut on May 18th. An amazing, amazing singer. Oh, she's passionate. She's gorgeous. She's visually beautiful, vocally beautiful. And she continues to make waves in the opera world and take, indeed, that opera world by storm. In fact, by the way, you know, James Levine was not on the podium for over 2 years. And Isabel returned in Così Fan Tutte recently at the Met with James to rave, rave reviews in Barbara of Seville.
Doreen, we have a little bit of time left, and I know that there are so many people out there that you want to send thanks and your affection for all the years that they've helped you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about these people?
Well, I'm not going to mention names, but thank you for the time, Charles. There are so many organizations, governmental organizations, individual organizations, and individuals themselves who have helped us over these many 33 years. We could not have done it. The local newspapers, Whole Foods Markets, which I have to mention again, and these amazing individuals that would send us their checks at the beginning of the year. Sometimes they would increase it, but they would automatically send their money to us, and we would guard their every dollar because they know that we would spend it very judiciously. And I cannot begin to thank each and every one of these people. They know who they are, and I know who they are. But I don't feel I should mention it publicly like this. But I thank you for this wonderful opportunity, Charles.
Well, Doreen Marks and Byron Krulwich, I want to thank you for your vast contribution to South Florida's cultural arts scene and for your many years here on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charles.
Amazing opportunity.
Doreen Marks has an unerring eye for upcoming and established performers whose superior talent ably fill the season's calendar in South Florida's rising cultural scene. It should also be noted that this amazing impresario's over three decades of service to the South Florida community has been supported and structured by her indispensable husband, Byron. It is with regret but gratitude that we bid farewell to a Sunday tradition that has added real musical fiber and substance to our cultural constitution here in South Florida. We can only hope that Doreen Marks' legacy will be honored in the future with similar dedication. For ticket information for the final concert with soprano Isabel Leonard, May 18th, call 305-271-7150 and check their website, sundaymusicals.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net.
This is Michael Spring, and I'm director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Well, Sunday Afternoons of Music is a work of passion by Doreen Marks and her husband, Byron Krulwich. I mean, this is an institution in our community, a series that's been around for better than 30 years now, and has entertained and energized audiences in our community for classical music, and been the kind of thing that's changed lives, and especially the component of what Byron and Doreen do for children, Sunday Afternoons for Children as well, have built new audiences for the arts form over the years. And these two individuals are totally amazing, committed human beings that our Department of Cultural Affairs has been proud to support over the years. And we will miss them, but their legacy will live on in our community.
Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment.